All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. All right, so we left off. Jabo, what were you going to say?
No, and that's how we should see the world.
Correct. That is correct.
Literally, they're not doing it. It's just inanimate
objects. That is correct. All right, Jabo, say let's go. So today's daf is Chav Tes 29. So we have again we left off on Chav Ches Amud Beis. So a lot of interesting technical gemara today. So I'm Rabbi Akiva. So let's remember again, Rabbi Yishmael, I'm Rabbi Akiva. So let's remember again yesterday, I mentioned, on Chof Ches Amud Aleph, we had an interesting exchange between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. And the braisa that was quoted was the following. Rabbi Akiva said the Torah says, Nitma'a, 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 three different times. One is to teach me that the Sultan is Asura to the Baal, to her husband. One is the teaching that the Sultan is Asura to the Boel, to the adulterer. And one was the teaching that the Sultan is Asura to Truma. Keti Truma. Rabbi Akiva, that was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel came along and said that it's a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? If a Grusha, right, let's say a woman who is divorced, Bas Kohen who is divorced, with no children, is permitted to go ahead and eat Truma, but yet, because she's a divorcee, she's Asura to the Kahuna, then this one, namely the Sota, who is prohibited to Truma, all the more so that she is prohibited to the Kahuna. To which the Gemara didn't ask it, but already Rashi asked it, is why they're talking like this. Rabbi Akiva's talking about Baal Boel Truma, and Rabbi Shmuel brings the Kavachomer to say that she's Asura to the Kahuna. So the Gemara now asks, again, they're talking over each other. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva Truma, Umahadra Le Kahuna. Rabbi Akiva began the discussion by pointing out that a Sota is not permitted to eat Truma, and Rabbi Shmuel responds with a Kavachomer that teaches me that what? That she can't marry into the Kahuna. So first of all, the Gemara asks, "Is what's going on over here? They're not talking to each other. They're talking about two different things. Visu, furthermore, the Rabbi Akiva Kahuna Minale. Furthermore, where does Rabbi Akiva learn that a Sota is not permitted to go ahead and, where does it learn that a Sota is not permitted to marry into the Kahuna? To which the Gemara says, V'chitim akuna lo tzri chakra. So maybe you will say that according to Rabbi Akiva, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that a sota may not marry a kohen. So understand, when we say that a sota may not marry a kohen, so what, I think Shmuel brings this on Sunday. So what does that mean? So meaning, again, let's say the sota process begins, husband dies before he has a chance to give her to drink. So that's called a sota. She meaning she was a woman who was in the sota process. She's not a confirmed adulteress. But at the end of the day, what we've seen is that Lamaisa, we've made Sveiko Kivadai. In case of a Sota, what we've done is we've made the Suffolk like a Vadai case. So the idea over here, the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Kiva is saying, or Rabbi Shmuel is saying, that she cannot marry a Kohen under those circumstances. Even though, remember, she's a widow, and a widow can marry a Kohen. Can marry a Kohen Gadol, but a widow can marry a Kohen. So nevertheless, over here, she can't marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, maybe you'll ask, according to Rabbi Akiva, where does Rabbi Akiva learn out that a Sota can't marry a Kohen? So maybe you'll suggest that Lamaisa, again, a Sota doesn't need, I don't need a pasuk that a Sota can't marry a Kohen. Why not? Top of Chavtes. Shahari Asaba Safek Zona Kizona. Because also the whole chap of Sota is that we've made a woman who is a Safek Zona like a Vadai Zona. Meaning, even though, again, we do not yet know her guilt or her innocence, what we've done is we've essentially established halachically that she is guilty, at least like Gabi certain things. Take a look at the last Rashi in Chavchesim and Beis for just a moment. So maybe you'll say, I don't need a post teaching that a Sota can marry a Kohen, because it's understood. Because the pasuk itself makes a suffik like a vadai. Because remember, we'll say, we know this. How do we know that Torah makes a suffik like a vadai in the case of Sota? Because we must remember, what happens if she says, I'm not drinking? What happens? What happens? She's asura to her husband. So we'll say, now again, but once again, but it's a suffik. We don't know if she committed adultery or not. Maybe she doesn't want to drink because she doesn't want to race the waters. That's the chap of Sota. The idea of Sota is that we've made suffik kevadai. We've made, again, her possible guilt in certain respects, like definitive guilt. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva is going to say, the fact that we've made suffik kevadai, which essentially renders her a zona, so that's, of course, she can't marry a kohen. I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. That's a clear extension of the normative laws of Sota. To which the Gemara answers, top of Chavtes, Truma Nami Loti Baikra, But then I could extend that same argument over here and tell you that Truma should also not need a Pasuk. Why? Shari Asaba Safik Zona Kizona? I will say, because again, if you're telling me that Kahuna doesn't need a Pasuk, meaning that I don't need a Pasuk teaching that a Sota can't marry a Kohen, because at the end of the day, again, Safik Zona Kizona, so Sota I'll say she can't eat Truma either. Why? Because the Torah clearly made a case of doubt, like a definitive case of where she's a Zona. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ihachi Truma Loti Boy, Nami Loti Boy Kra. Benelif Mahu Tama Gofei. Let's learn that from the same reason. Shari Asa Kaso Besota Savik Zona Kevadai Zona. Because you see by Sota, but remember, even though the whole essence of Sota is doubt, we don't know what happened. But yet we see that the way we resolve this doubt in situations where she doesn't drink, the way we resolve the doubt ultimately is Lechumro, that we call her a Zona. Kevadai Zona. B'shuma Hayadinon. The Zona Asura. Rashi says, by we know that a Zona is not permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. Dixiv, ki sihya li'ish zar, ki ti boya li'zar etzlohi b'truma sakachim lo sochal, ve'im lecha psul godl mizeh, ki shehi eshes ish v'nivel ala acher. But I just want to point out, the definition of a Zona is not a woman who simply engages in illicit relations. The definition of a Zona is a woman who has relations with someone with whom she cannot have kiddushin. So this is very important. At the time of the relations, correct. So obviously, if a married woman has relations with anyone other than her husband, that makes her a Zona, because once she's married, she can't go ahead and have relations with anyone else. This has ramifications, actually, again, for a single woman who has relations. Not every act of relations, like technically speaking, if a single Jewish woman were to have relations with a Jewish man, technically speaking, that would not make her a Zona. On a technical level, again, not encouraged, but not a technical Zona, because why? The Yidushin technically is Tofsin in that type of situation. In any event, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. So let's just follow this flow over here. So Rabbi Akiva, remember, was learning out the nitma to teach me that the asota is asura to the baal boel truma. The Gemara says, I, Rabbi Akiva, where do you learn out that the sota is asura to the kohen? To which the Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva doesn't need a pasuk. Why? Because she's a Zona. Essentially, again, in a situation of Sota, we've made Suffolk Zona, Kizona. Therefore, again, she's a Sura to the Kahuna. So, one second, Rabbi Kiva, if that's the case, that you've made Suffolk Zona, Kizona, then what? Then I shouldn't need a Pasuk for Truma either. Right? Then why don't I need a Venitma for Truma? Once somebody has Suffolk Zona is Kizona, then by definition, she's a Sura to Truma as well. El Rabbi Akiva, Sigmar says, you're right. So we have to reframe this a little bit. El Rabbi Akiva, Arba Kroik Sivi. Rather, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, there are in actuality four psukim. Rabbi said, what do you mean four psukim? We just said the word nitma appears three times. Oh, well, so let's go back for just a moment. Look at Rashi. El Rabbi Akiva, Arba Kroik Sivi. Yiseri Beis Nitma, Vichad Vinitma. Rabbi Akiva darshi vavi hari arba. Both says, going back to yesterday. Remember again, Rabbi Akiva darshins vavs. The word nitma'a appears three times, but it's nitma'a, vinitma'a, and nitma'a, which gives you what? Three nitma'as is three drushes. The vav is a fourth. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there are four drushes to be made here. But I suggest you should know, part of the beauty of this is, you hear these principles, by the way, like darshaning vavs, Rabbi Akiva darshan's vavs. So like when you're learning on your own at night, like, you know, dafyomi, you know, Yerushalmi, whatever you guys do at night. You know, so you know, you hear these, it's a joke. Warning everyone. All right, so you know, what's interesting to note is, these are your sodistic principles that when you see them throughout other places, you know, you perk up because you realize, like, I know that concept, it's an amazing idea. So now that I know Rabbi Kiva Darshan's Vavs, in reality, again, he has four psukim to Darshan, so watch this. Chad leba'al, v'chad leboel, chad lekehuna, v'chad letruma. So, in reality, the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Kiva actually dashes four psukim. Again, nitma, 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 plus the vav gives me four options for drushes. Tells me that the sota is prohibited to four things. What is the sota prohibited to? The baal, the husband, the baal, the adulterer, truma, again, Rabbi say, for example, let's say the husband were to die and she was a bas kohen, she can't go back and eat truma. Obviously, if the husband's a kohen, she can't eat truma either. And marriage to a kohen himself. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, Rabbi Yishmael, who Rashi points out, doesn't darshin vavs, So according to Rabbi Yishmael, there are only what? There are three drushas to be made. Nitma'a, nitma'a, nitma'a. So what does Rabbi Yishmael do? These Rabbi Yishmael, Tlasek Raik Sivi, and what do the three psukim teach me? Chad lebal, v'chad leboel, v'chad letruma. One teaches me again that she's a surah to the husband, one to the adulterer, one to truma. Ukohuna asya bakal v'chomer. Oh, now the whole conversation begins to make sense. And Rabbi Yishmael learns out the iser to kohuna from what? From the kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? A grusha ultimately, who's permitted to truma. Who's permitted to eat truma is asura to the kahuna. So this one, the soto, can't eat truma, all the more so that she's asura to the kahuna. So we'll say, now you understand, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael are talking to each other. That's the great part. They're talking to each other. They're arguing in drushas. Rabbi Akiva, who has four drushas to be made, ba'al, ba'al, truma, kahuna. Rabbi Yishmael only has three drushas because it doesn't dash in the vav. Dash is what? Ba'al, boel, truma. And kahuna is learned out from the kal v'chomer. So where's Rabbi Yishmael? So now the Gemara asks, I don't understand Rabbi Yishmael, why do you use the pasuk? Now, both remember, this seems a little bit random. Why do you use the pasuk to teach me that she is asura to truma and she can't marry into the guna from the kal v'chomer? Dilma ki itzdrich lekahuna utruma sharia. Maybe I'll say like this. We'll say maybe according to Rabbi Yishmael, the third nitma should teach me that what? That she's asur to the kahuna. I mean, don't learn from a kal v'chomer. She's asur to the kahuna, and maybe truma according to Rabbi Yishmael is permitted. Meaning, if he only has three drushes to make, maybe it's only she's asur to the baal, to the baal, and to kahuna. Maybe again, she's totally permitted to truma. Amar lecha. So Rabbi Yishmael says, mistabra dumya de baal uboel. Because Rabbi Yishmael says like this: when looking, what should fill that third slot? You see, everybody's agreeing that the first two nitma'as tell us that what? That the sota is asura to the baal and to the boel. When looking to fill that third slot, it makes the most sense to fill it with something that most resembles baal and boel. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, ma baal ubo mechaim, just like the prohibition for her to marry the baal, to remain married to the husband, or to marry the baal, the adulterer, apply during the lifetime. Af truma nami mechaim. So to ultimately again the prohibition of truma applies during the lifetime. La fuke kahuna de la achar misa, as opposed to kahuna, which what only applies after death. I will say now, what does that mean? So interestingly enough, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following: the ability for her to marry a kohen, meaning that prohibition really only becomes acutely relevant when? After the husband dies. Because you know, Rabosai, if the husband is alive and divorces her, of course she can't marry a kohen, and that has nothing to do with sota. What does it have to do with? That she's a grusha. So the only time that the impact of her sota status upon her ability to marry into the kohuna really comes about is if the husband dies. So what Rabbi Yishmael says is like this: when looking what to fill that third slot, just like the prohibition of baal and boel applied during the lifetime of the husband, so too again we're looking to fill that third slot with something that applies during the lifetime of the husband. But so that's why I put in truma as opposed to kahuna, because the real impact of her inability to marry into the kahuna is only truly acutely felt after the death of the husband. Whereas as an almana, she should have normally been able to marry into the kahuna, but because of her sota status, she can no longer do so. Take a look at Rashi. Amar lecha mistabra. Rashi says, Dikra, Truma, Rabbi. It makes sense that the third nitma, according to Rabbi Yishmael, is coming to include Truma. Dumya, the train nitma of the Rabbi Bohen Balu Boel, to resemble the first two of the nitmas. Actually, the first two nitmas that come to include the baal and the boel. The mechaim de baal kamisirluhu. Because we'll say both the baal and the boel, husband and the adulterer, become usher to the woman during the lifetime of the husband. Kigon. Imigashena asur the baal. For example, if the husband divorces her, she may not marry the suspected adulterer. Hilchach. Mikrashlishi nami lemidi de misrabe mechaim lebal asi. Vahainu truma. Uleme ute kuna shein pas exeba la osra el la acher misa. Therefore, again, it's an amazing idea. Therefore, Rabbi Yishmael says that I would like to be able to fill that third slot with something that resembles the first two. And just like the Isra of Baal and Baal apply when the husband is alive, so too let's put in the third slot something that applies when the husband was alive, namely Truma, as opposed to Kahuna, which really only comes about, is only relevant once the husband dies. Rabbi Akiva, Dumyad the Balu Ba Leslay. So Rabbi says, now the Gemara shoots back to Rabbi Akiva. Because remember, Rabbi Akiva does fill one of those four slots with kahuna. So Rabbi Akiva doesn't worry about that. Rabbi Akiva says, who says that all the things mentioned have to be the same? Rabbi Akiva doesn't worry about the fact that some apply during the lifetime, some apply after the lifetime. Inami, furthermore, is vich inami, isle milsa da asya bekavach omer, tarach vekasav lakra. Furthermore, Rabbi Akiva will say, the following, that lemaisa, again, you have a concept that sometimes something that can be learned out from a kal vachomer, the Torah will still go ahead and purposely put it in a pasuk. There's this concept like that, that even though something I could have learned out on my own, the Torah still goes in and goes through the process of putting it into a pasuk. Fine, look at Rashi. V'inami isle, umitukum kralik truma, v'afilu hachi asa vav yisir l'kahuna. V'af agav di'ika l'melfa, v'kal vachomer tar v'kas l'kras. So Rabbi Akiva will say that even though, again, I could have learned out kuna from the kal vachomer, at the end of the day, the Torah went out of its way to write a pasuk. Amrav gido amrav. So remember, while we end off, here's the interesting part with this. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree, right? Meaning, there's no material argument over here. They're agreeing that a sota is asura. It's a baal, boel, truma, kihuna. The only machlokis is what? How you learn it out. According to Rabbi Kivu Darshan Zvav, you have three nitmas plus one vav. Teach me Baal Boel Truma Kahuna. Rabbi Shmuel, who doesn't Darshan Vav, just has three nitmas. Baal Boel Truma, and Kahuna is learned out from Kavachomer. Why Kahuna from Kavachomer as opposed to Truma? Because again, there's a strong commonality between Baal Boel and Truma, namely that they all apply during the lifetime of the husband. But bottom line is really the same. So the Gemara goes back to Amrav Gidol Amrav Dover Shish Bodas Lishol Vein Bodas Lishol Mahaykra Nafka. So the Gemara says, remember, we'll say going back to yesterday's daf. So one of the things that we established based on Sota serves as a paradigm, that a case of Suffolk Tumah, any case of doubt when it comes to Tumah, if the doubt satisfies two criteria, namely, number one, that it's Mishus HaYachid, number two, Yesh Bo Da'as Lishoel, you have the ability to ask a party involved what happened. If you satisfy those two criteria, then it's Sfeiko Tameh. Then the doubt is resolved stringently. If it doesn't satisfy those two criteria, then it's Sfeik Otar. The Gemara now goes back to that. Amarav Gidol Amarav Dover Sheish Bodas Lishave Modas Lishame Haikra Nafka. So the Gemara says, Rav Gidol, in the name of Rav, essentially is saying is, you made it sound like we learn out this concept from Sota. But the truth is, we actually learn out from the following pasuk. V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh, lo yochal vaday tamehu. Excuse me, lo yochal. So the pasuk says the following. This is talking about, actually, lo yachal. This is talking about sacrificial meat. Meat of a carbon. So if you have meat of a carbon that touches kol tameh, that touches anything that is tameh, lo yachal, the meat may not be consumed. So the Gemara says, vaday tameh hu de lo yachal, hasafek tameh v'safek tahar yachal. So the pasuk seems to tell me that what? When can't you eat sacrificial meat? When can't you eat it? Only when it's a vaday tameh. But if it's a possibility of tumah, then lemaisa again, I can eat it. But yet, ema seifa, look at the end of the pasuk. V'habasar kol tahar yochal basar. But yet the pasuk also says that, bless you, that the meat kol tahar, any person who is tahar, could go and eat the basar. What do you see from here? Or I should say, any meat that is tahar can be eaten. V'adai tahar hu yochal basar. Only someone who is definitively tahar could eat the meat. Ha-safik tamei v'safik tahar lo yochal. So somebody who is a safik tamei, safik tahar, safik can't eat it. So what do you see? You see, we have contradictory inferences. From the beginning of the pasuk, it tells me what? It tells me what? From the beginning of the pasuk, it sounds like that it's only a vaday tahar could eat the meat, but a safek cannot. And from the end of the pasuk, it sounds like that a safek can. So what's going on over here? Elalav shmamina kan sheyesh bo das lishal, kan she'en bo das lishal. So we'll say the Gemara resolves this in a very interesting way. Rather, it must be that what? We must be talking about two different cases. One is talking about where the person became tamei, or the person is safek, and if the person is safek, then it's yesh bo das lishal, And if it's yesh bo das lishah, you can ask the person. If it's yesh bo das lishah, then what? Then it's sfeiko tame. And the other case must be where the meat is the suffik tame. In that case, it's ein bo das lishah. There's no ability to ask. And therefore, what? Sfeiko tahar. We resolve it leniently. Take a look at Rashi. El alav shma mino habasar asher yiga de davar she'ein bo das lishah, who? If it's a shayla about the status of the meat, did the meat touch something tame or not? So the meat is obviously something you can't ask. Hilchach sfeiko tar. Therefore, again, both say in that case the suffix is tar. The chaltar yochal baser the ari b'tumas aguf the yesh b'das lishal. But who come out of the chal sfeiko tar? So this is very interesting. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that lemaisa we don't learn out this concept from sota. We're actually learning it out right from sacrificial meat. So the case again where the pasuk seems to resolve the suffix leniently. That's a case ultimately where the meat itself become. We're not sure is the meat tame, is the meat not tame? Did the meat touch something tame? And that's a case of in b'das lishal. There is no ability to ask the meat, obviously. Therefore, sfeiko tar, on the other hand, where the suffix is in the person, that's yesh bo das lishol, and therefore, again, sfeiko tame. The itzrich drav gidol amarav, the itzrich lemigmar misota. So, at this point in time now, we have two different places from which we learn this concept. So now we're learning out of both sides. So remember, here again, the good part about all of these sugyas is we're not arguing on bottom lines. Bottom lines are going to be the same. Everybody's agreeing that where the suffix tuma came up in Rosh Hashayachid, and it's yesh bodas lishol, you have the ability to ask the parties involved what happens. Everyone agrees in that, or a party involved. Doesn't have to be both parties. One party involved, what happened? That case we say sfeiko tame. That case is sfeiko tame. Both say the only machlokis now is where are we learning that out of? So remember, we thought yesterday it was from sota. Now since we're learning it from sacrificial meat, to which the Gemara says in reality, you need both cases. You need both sources, and I'll tell you why. Because if I would have just learned it out from sacrificial meat, suppose in the case of the meat, there is no indication as to what. Where is the suffix occurring? Therefore, again, I would have thought that perhaps, again, whenever there is yesh bodas lishal, that would always go ahead and be suffix tame, independent of where it's occurring. Therefore, again, it's trichle migmar misota. Therefore, I need the limud from sota. Because what does sota teach me? Sota teaches me that it's only if it's in rishus hayochid. It's only if it's in rishus hayochid that do we say sfeiko tame. Vi'imi sota, and I just learned that from sota. Hava amina adi'ika das nogea umagia. If it was from sota, I would say, I might have thought that what? That yesh baudas lishayel means that you need to be able to ask all parties involved what happened, because that's the case of sota. There are two human beings involved. Therefore, again, tzricha, therefore I need the other case of the sacrificial meat to tell me what? The definition of yesh bodas lishol only means that what? I only have to be able to ask one of the parties involved what happened. So we'll say, bottom line, halach lamais, the paradigm still remains intact. Right? The paradigm remains the same, namely, that in the case of suffix tumah, so we resolve that suffix stringently if it satisfies two criteria. Number one, it's happening in Rosh Hashayachid. Number two, yesh bodas lishol. But we need, again, both sources for this concept because each of them contribute something unique. Good. Weiter. Sota. Sota, woman and the boel. There is no parallel case by tumah. That's why. That meaning, but tumah, what Basra teaches me is that I don't need nogeya and magia. What Tuma teaches is you only need to be able to have one party involved in the process whereby I could ask. The Havamita from Sota is that maybe yesh bodas lishol means that you can ask everyone involved. Kamash Malon, Basar teaches me, I only need to be able to ask one of the parties involved. So the Gemara dash is the following. Dar Shabi Akiva Chok Lichara. So let's remember again, now we're going to spend a little bit of time on Tumantara. Tumantara. We're going to be excited about it because, remember again, number one, it's going to be Torah Lishma. Number two, it gets us excited about the Beis HaMikdash because Emirat Hashem, this is going to be Lemaisa Bekarov. So we're going to, right, we're excited? Good. Want a refill on the coffee? Which is going to be great. So listen to this. So also, remember again, the Mishnah began a discussion ultimately again about, I'll just read to you from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Boba M'dor Shabi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva darshened that there's a concept Rabbi said that a kikar sheni, namely again, so just to illustrate this in a kli cheres, you have a sheret, you have a rodent that comes into a kli, dead rodent comes into a kli cheres, makes the kli cheres tame. Kli cheres is a rishon. Then there's a loaf of bread that goes into that kli cheres, that loaf becomes a sheni. Rabbi Akiva darshened that a sheni could go ahead and now make a shlishi. Shlishi, Rabbi said, just so you understand, tuma is never a linear conveyance. Every single time you convey Tumah's knocked down a level. Ultimately, again, there comes a certain point in time where an item is no longer. Well, so you're going to see two different terms. There's going to be a term that's called Tumah versus Pasul. So Tumah means that an item is not only Tumah but has the ability to convey Tumah. Pasul means it's hit the lowest level of Tumah, meaning it can no longer convey Tumah to anything else. So Rabbi Akiva darshan that a sheni can make a shlishi. Rabbi Yoshua got upset because Rabbi Yoshua said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one who said that a future generation will go ahead and say there's no such thing as a shlishi, and yet you, Rabbi Akiva, are proving that there is a shlishi. Okay, so that's the background to this conversation. So let's go. So Gemara says, "Umeachar de'ein lo lama tamei." So what says? So now at the end of the day, if there's no makar for truma, that truma could become a shlishi. So then, at the end of the day, why are we saying that it's tame? Amarav, minatorah einlo midin kal v'chomer yeshlo. Both have the ability of truma. Now, there's one other piece when it comes to truma. This is very interesting. When it comes to truma, the holier an item is, the more receptive it is to truma. So let's say, for example, we're going to see that truma or kachim, let's say, for example, kachim sacrificial items are most receptive to tumah. Underneath that, truma is under that, and chulin is the least receptive to tumah. So the Gemara says like this, now that you tell me that there's no pasuk that says that truma can become a shlishi, so why is truma tameh as a shlishi? Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no pasuk, but we learn from a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Umat tvul yom shemuter b'chulin. Everybody's at this party today. We've got tvul yom, we've got truma, everybody's here. So listen to this. When it comes to tvul yom, who's permitted to eat chulin? Rabbi says, now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Mat tvul yom. What's a tvul yom? Tvul yom is a person who's tameh, went to the mikvah, but remember again, going to the mikvah is not enough. You need herev shemesh. Right, you need ultimately for the sun to go down. So this person is in an interesting state. On one hand, he's done everything he needs to affect his tara, but he is waiting patiently for a sunset. So a tvul yom, Rashi says, shemuter b'chulin, kedarmin b'yivamispa arel tlasa kreik sivi tavava ala umuter b'chulin ulamaser ulamaiser hedef shema sha'ocha b'chulin. So listen to this. So if you have a tvul yom does not convey tuma to truma. This is very important. So, excuse me, let's say right now, Tuchulin. He does not convey any kind of Tumah to Tuchulin, yet, post-sell b'Trumah. Yet, I will say, if a Tvul Yom touches Trumah, he renders that Trumah unfit. Why? Because, again, remember, even though he's gone through his process of Tara, the sun has not yet set, which means he still possesses some level of Tumah. Not enough Tumah to mess up Tuchulin, but enough Tumah to mess up Trumah. Kikar Sheni, she-post-sell b'Tuchulin. So I also remember a kikar, a loaf of bread that is a sheni. Meaning, I also remember, how do you become a sheni? So remember, you have an av atuma that comes in contact with something and makes it a rishon. That rishon then comes in contact with that second item, makes it a sheni. If you have a loaf of bread that is a sheni, shepasel b'chulin, it has the ability to go out and convey tuma even to chulin. Eino din sheyas shlishi b'truma. So I will say, if a sheni has the ability to go out and convey tuma for chulin, then what? It certainly has the ability to make truma a shlishi. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kikar sheni shepasal b'chulin dechsev kol asher besocho yitma chulin utruma v'kachim b'mashmadinu shi'as a shlishi b'truma v'dayo v'lekal." Sorry, so actually we can leave this. That we'll see that dial in a little bit. So we'll say. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, "Kal v'chomer if a tvul yom who is mutter in chulin ultimately goes ahead and passes." excuse me. Passes truma. Then a loaf of bread that is a sheni, that has the ability to make a shlishi, to make a chulin shlishi, certainly has the ability to go ahead and negatively impact truma. ika la mifrach. The Gemara said, but you can ask a kash on that. Malut tvul yom shekein av hatuma. But say, here's the difference. The tvul yom ultimately, again, has the ability to be the av hatuma self. Meaning, what's like, who's the tvul yom? Rashi says, kegon tame meis, ozav, o mitzora, shem betu masanavos. Meaning, maybe the ability, the reason why the tvul yom has the ability to go in and pasul the truma is why? Because the tvul yom also has the capacity to be an avatuma. On the other hand, again, the kikar, the loaf, is only a sheni, to which the Gemara says, tisi, amen beis, tisi mitvul yom the sheretz. So both, and this staff, Rashi is on both sides. So tisi mitvul yom the sheretz. So the truth is, again, we can bring a raya from the case of tvul yom b'sheretz. We'll say, what does that mean? Let's say a person came in contact with the sheretz. That's the source of his tumah. In that case, again, the person going to the mikvah is not an avatumah. That should be more comparable to the case of the kikar sheni. Take a look at Rashi. Mitvul yom b'sheretz. Adam shenaga b'sheretz rishon l'tumah. Haya v'lo av hatumah. So we'll say a person who comes in contact with the sheretz never becomes an av. So we'll say the difference is that when a person comes in contact with a corpse, or a person is a zav or a mitzora, that person is an av hatuma, as opposed to, let's say, tumas sheretz, where the person never becomes an av, the person becomes a rishon. So for the Gemara is saying, okay, if you're looking for a comparable case to sheni, so go ahead and say, compare it to a case of a tvul yom, who has sheretz. So we'll say, a person touched the sheretz, went to the mikvah, he's waiting for sunset. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, the case is still not comparable. Malut tvul yom de sheretz shekin b'mino af hatuma. So we'll say, the case is still not comparable. Why? Because in the case of sheretz, there is still what we call b'mino. There is still within that category an avatuma. What does it mean, Abbas? So take a look at Rashi. Shekin yesh b'mino avatuma. Im hayer nogea kli zeh o adam zeh b'meis. Na'ase avatuma. I will say, as much as this particular person is not an avatuma, this individual is capable under different circumstances of becoming an avatuma. However, again, on the other hand, by the kikar itself is never an avatuma. To which the Gemara says, kli cheres yochiach. So the truth is, again, you could prove this from the case of Kli Cheres. Well, so take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kli Cheres Yochiach, She'ein B'mino Avatuma. There is no such case in a Kli Cheres where the Kli Cheres itself ever becomes an Avatuma. Or Metame as a Truma. And yet, it has the ability to convey Tuma to Truma. So remember, we're trying to look for a case to say that something that has the ability to go ahead and be an Avatuma has the ability to make Truma a Shlishi. That's not such a chiddush. What we're looking for is a situation where the item cannot become an av, but yet still has the ability to make truma a shlishi. To which the Gemara says, you can't bring me any raya from a tvul yom, because a tvul yom is a person. A person always has the ability to go ahead and become an av. So therefore, again, to tell me that a tvul yom makes truma a shlishi, that's not a chiddush. I need a case of an item that can't become an av, but yet still has the ability to make truma into a shlishi. To which the Gemara says, okay, I'll take kli cheres. Kli cheres is a perfect example. Kli cheres cannot become an av, but yet what? Has the ability to make truma shlishi. To which the Gemara says, Mala kli cheres shekein metame me'aviro. He can't bring a right from kli cheres. I will say, why? Because kli cheres has a unique stringency. What's the unique stringency? We'll say, this is just exeris hakosuf. Kli cheres becomes tame from its airspace. I will say, under normal circumstances, the only way to go ahead and transmit tuma is how? Is through touch. Now again, granted, there are exceptions like tumas meis, tumas oil. There are exceptions, but generally tumas transmitted through touch, at least to utensils. But yet again, kli cheres is different. Why? Because if you dangle something tummy in its airspace, it becomes tummy as well. Therefore, again, tvul yom yochiach. Therefore, the Gemara says you're right. V'chazar adin lo rizeh kerizeh. The truth is, all of these cases are dissimilar. So I'll say, what is the common denominator? Shemutarin bechulin. In all of these cases, again, they go ahead and they do not negatively impact chulin. Upostlin betruma, but yet they do go ahead and invalidate truma. Kol shekein kikar sheni sheposa bechulin deposa betruma. We both say all the more so a kikar sheni, meaning a loaf of bread that is a sheni, which has the ability to pasel chulin, certainly goes ahead and creates a shlishi by truma as well. So the Gemara says v'dar acher parech.
Now, I will say the Mishnah made it sound like a future generation will go ahead and be able to show that Truma does not become a Shlishi. So what would the future generation ask on this? Why don't you say to come Namnir between Tvoyom and Klicheres? Shikin Yeshpa and Sad Chomer. That they both have what? They both have astringency associated with them. We'll say, take a look at Rashi. This is the second to last line on the right hand column of Rashi. Sad Chomer. What do you mean they each have astringency? Tvul yom yesh b'mino avatuma. Rabbi says, because tvul yom is capable. That is in the category of becoming an avatuma, meaning a person can become an avatuma. And kli cheres mitame aviro. And kli cheres ultimately, again, what? Becomes tummy from his airspace. Maybe because they each possess unique stringencies, that's why they have the ability to make truma ashlishi. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, tzad chomer lo paruch. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that stringencies are not enough to create a pircha. Look at Rashi. For Rabbi Yochanan, tzad chomer lo paruch, lo chashuv le pircha, hoyo ve'ein chomer shebishneim shavar. But it's very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that the only time that a pircha ultimately could destroy a tzad shaveh is when it's the same, bless you, it's when it's the same shared stringency. But two different stringencies ultimately will not create a pircha. So the Gemara goes like, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, minayin l'revi'i bekodesh apostle. So we'll say, how do I know that a revi'i bekodesh is possible? I'm saying, remember again, revi'i now is even a step further. This is kodesh. Kodesh, remember, refers to sacrificial items, different than truma. Truma's truma, kodesh is like sacrificial meat, other things like that. So Rabbi Yossi says, how do I know? Now remember, up until now, this is wild, right? Because up until now, the most we've spoken about is a shlishi. Now we're seeing amazing that there's a concept of a revi'i also. So minayin le revi'i b'kodesh u'paso. Now look at Rashi just a moment. It's the top Rashi in the left-hand column. Minayin le revi'i b'kodesh u'paso. V'lo aminan tarak u'truma. Now both say, here's what's interesting. Everyone so far is in agreement that when it comes to truma, oh boy, we have not a lot of time here. When it comes to Truma, so the Tumah for Truma stops at a Shlishi, which means if a Shlishi touches something else, what's the status of that item? Nothing, totally kosher. However, by Kodesh ultimately become Aser as a Revi'i. So says the Gemara, Vidinhu, the Gemara says again, it's a Kavachomer, Mamch. Okay, we'll go a little bit lighter. It's very light. Okay, so he says, "Uvdinhu ma mechusar kipurim shemuter betruma." So Rabbi say again, when it comes to mechusar kipurim, remember again, look at Rashi. Mechusar kipurim betumas hatzrichos carbon kagon zav zav yoledes mitzora. Rabbi say mechusar kipurim refers to people ultimately who still require additional carbonos in order to become tar. When it comes to mechusar kipurim, they are mutter betruma. So Rabbi say, remember, mechusar kipurim is someone who's waited the amount of time he needs to become tar, gone to the mikvah, but needs to bring karbanos. So by Mechusar Kippurim, he's permitted shemutar b'truma, he's permitted to eat truma, but yet pasul b'kodesh, but yet he can't eat anything sacrificial. And therefore what? Shlishi, shepasul b'truma, eino din shi aser revi b'kodesh. So we'll say, therefore, shlishi, which has the ability to go ahead, which makes truma pasul as a shlishi, certainly it should make kodesh pasul as a revi. And therefore, what do you see? You see that we've learned the ability of Shlishi. We've seen that, or I should say, the concept of Shlishi by Kodesh. We've learned it out from a Pasuk. And we've learned that Revi'i exists by Kodesh from a Kavachomer. That's what we just said before. So which the Gemara says, Shlishi leKodesh min haTorah min olam. How do we know that a shlishi by kodesh, we also remember by sacrificial items. How do we know that a shlishi by kodesh exists? Where do we learn that out? From Minolan, Dichsiv, V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh, lo ye'achel. The Pasuk says that sacrificial meat that will touch anything that is tameh shall not be eaten. Now what's the case? Milo askinan dinaga b'sheni. Are we not talking about where the meat touched the sheni? The amarachmana lo ye'achel. And yet the Torah says that what? It cannot be eaten. Both say, so what do you see from here? Now remember, if that meat touches the sheni, then what does the meat become? It becomes a shlishi. And yet the Torah says it cannot be eaten. So that teaches me shlishi, revi'i mekavachomer. But how do I know that kodesh could even become a revi'i? Oh, that's the kavachomer, Rabbi, that we just saw above. That's the Kal v'chomer from Mechusar Kippurim, that if Mechusar Kippurim ultimately, again, who is permitted to eat Truma, ultimately invalidates Kodesh, so certainly Shlishi, which is possible Truma, certainly makes it a V'i B'Kodesh as well. So now we've learned out the existence of Shlishi by Kodesh from a Pasuk, and we've learned out Revi'i from a Kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says Revi'i from a Kal v'chomer, Kedamron, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ta'am b'Ribi Ein Yodea. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't understand Rabbi Yossi's logic. And that's Rabbi Yossi's logic. The Gemara says, Shahari Chuvaso Bitsido. Because again, it would seem to be that the refutation of Rabbi Yossi's logic is right there. The Gemara says, Ochal Haba Machmas Tvo Yom Yochiach. I could disprove Rabbi Yossi's assertion by the following. Ochal Haba Machmas Tvo Yom, which means that if you have food that was touched by a Tvo Yom, She pasul b'truma. Rabbi Yossi says, if the Tvo Yom touched truma, it becomes pasul. Ve'ino osa revi'i b'kodesh. But yet, interestingly enough, the Tvul Yom will not make a revi'i by Kodesh. This sanya, because we learned Abashal Omer, Tvul Yom t'chila l'kodesh. Rabbi Yossi, if a Tvul Yom touches Kodesh, he makes it a Rishon. L'tamei shnayim v'lifsol echa. Now, this is very interesting. So Rashi points out, Hu yochal la'asos Rishon. So let me say it's outside. So if a Tvul Yom touches something, he's able to make something a Rishon. The Rishon is able to make something else a Sheni. The Sheni makes something else a Shlishi, and the Shlishi ultimately makes something a Revi'i. Now, we'll say by Kodesh. Now, the Revi'i is, as we say, is Pasul. Pasul means what? That it itself is Tomei, but does not have the ability to convey Tomei to anything else. And yet, again, this Sanya B'Shol Omer, Tvul Yom, Tchila L'Kodesh, L'Tamishtayim V'Lifsol Echad, Rabbi Meir Omer, Metame Echad, U'Pasul Echad. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says that when the Tvul Yom touches Kodesh, so the Kodesh ultimately goes ahead and could make Shlishi, and a Shlishi could go to make a Revi'i. V'chom nechom say, k'shem sheposel, ochle truma umashki truma, the same way that he's able to go ahead and pasel food of truma and drinks of truma, kach posel ochle kodesh umashki kodesh, he's also able to invalidate what? Food and drink of kodesh as well. Maski for Rapapa. So Rapapa says, 1 second, mi mait Rabbi Yossi k'rabbanon sfirle. How do you know Rabbi Yossi was like the Rabbanon? Dilma k'abashol sfirle. Maybe it was like Abashol. Da amar letami shnayim v'lif sol echad. Maybe it was like Abashol that what? That says that in kodesh, he's able to make a sheni and a shlishi, but ultimately, again, the revi'i just becomes pasul. Isak adet ha'kabashol sfirle laisi the Revi Bekodesh me ochel sheba machmas tvuyom. Ultimately, could have learned out the case of Revi'i by Kodesh from the case of food touched by a Tvul Yom. How so? Uma ochel haba machmas Tvul Yom. The Tvul Yom gufei muter b'chulin amrit os Revi'i by Kodesh. Because when it comes to a Tvul Yom, so food, that, so remember, a Tvul Yom himself is muter by chulin, but yet he's able to make a Revi'i by Kodesh. Ochel, top of Lamed. Ochel shlishi haba machmas sheni. Ultimately, again, if you have food that is a shlishi as a result of contact with the sheni, gufei aser. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. So I'm sorry. Ochel shlishi haba machmas sheni. The sheni gufei aser bechulin. Because I will say, remember again, that the sheni itself will be aser by chulin. Eino din she'oser vi'i b'kodesh. Should certainly go ahead and make her a vi'i by kodesh as well. So the Gemara says, I v'chi teima mishum de'ikala mifrach malet tvul yom shekein avatuma. I, but maybe you'll ask what we asked before. I will say that what? That a tvul yom is different because a tvul yom has the ability to be an avatuma. Ha'aisina mimechusri kipurim. Yet again, we learned that out from the case of mechusri kipurim v'lo parche. But yet again, we didn't ask that question. The Rabbi says, so the fact that question, that pircha was not raised, indicates to us that what? That Rabbi Yossi indeed holds like the Rabbanan. Well, all right, we'll have to stop over here. I apologize that that last piece was a little bit rushed. Bottom line, stay away from Tumah. That's the take-home message with this. No, but I'll say no. Bottom line, what we see, just the important takeaways from all of this is, we've proven ultimately again that a Shlishi exists midorai. So we've proven again that either a Shlishi can be learned out from the Pasuk or from a Kal v'chomer, and we also learned out that by Truma, the bottom line Tumah ultimately is by a Shlishi, but by Kodesh, you can even go ahead and create a Revi. So we'll stop over here. We're pretty much finished with Tumah and Tara. I know, right? But we'll see a little bit more in the beginning of the shiur tomorrow. Shukriya.